Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
Today, we decided that we'll talk a little bit about the Brosolite and Gawler Football Association and how the teams are going the one-third of the way through the season. And let's start with the Gawler teams, Rick. Gawler Central.
Well, Gawler Central are absolutely on a roll. I mean, I know they've been at the top of the tree or thereabouts for the last few years, but they've gone into their bye with a 6-0 record, and that sets them up really well.
Yes, it really does, and it's interesting. Brad Mercer's been on fire for a number of years, and now he's on target to be the first player in the competition to kick 100 goals in three separate seasons. And he's had a bag of nine, two bags of eight, a bag of seven. He's got 37 goals from the six games.
Yep, I absolutely love watching him play. He's, I mean, to state the obvious, he's a very experienced and has a lot of football now. So I just love the way he can use his body to just push people out of the way with subtlety that the umpire doesn't see. He can take the mark that's coming in low. He can take them in the air. At this standard of football, you'd almost say he's the complete player.
Well, I saw him against Kapunda in the night game down there at Central, and at quarter time, sort of, Kapunda was well in control, five goals up, and half time they were still leading by, you know, four goals. And Mercer kicked three of Central's four goals. In the second half, he kicked another five and ended with eight in the game as Central turned the game around. And really, he was almost like a one-man show.
Well, yes. Certainly, as far as the scoring goes, up until last weekend, he basically was a one-man show. But I think the great thing that this strong Central side's got is the versatility, that it would seem that even though he is leading the way and probably will do so for the rest of the season, they do have some other avenues to get some scores on the board as well.
Well, over the last couple of seasons, they've had Tommy Dunn, and who's played the league football for Central District, and he's, but he's only a two-week-on, two-week-off proposition with his work up at Moonta. But he also was out injured for a few games, so it was only his second game. And as you said, Mercer only got three on the weekend, and Tommy Dunn stepped up with nine.
Yep. Well, it surprised me because given that they were playing Freeling, I really thought that I'd already penciled in Mercer for 10 goals. And how wrong could I be? He only got the odd three, and Tommy decided that he was going to have his own welcoming home party and got the casual nine. So if one doesn't get them, it seems the other one will.
Yeah, that was the case last year quite a bit as well. But one big in for Central was Luke Howard, the big tall ruckman who was one of the major ruckmen a couple of years. He left interstate, but he's returned and kicked four goals on Saturday. You saw the game?
I did indeed. He played very, very well. And, I mean, they are a genuine powerhouse, really. They've got a very strong across-the-board depth. And given that they don't mess up, given finals where, you know, the season starts all over again, from what I've seen so far, it's very hard to think who can probably beat them.
Yeah, they won it 2 years ago, and of course they lost to the undefeated Newry last year, but it's interesting that they've got some extra players coming up. Now, Ben Walter, who was forced out last year to play reserves because of the point system, he's come into the side and had a huge impact. He won the B-grade medal last year. And Charlie Molyneux, who's with the Crows reserves, he sort of likes starting to put his toe in the water, and he could be very valuable come finals. Daniel Stanley, who was a premiership player 2 years ago, he went interstate last year. He's returned, and he can play the halfback running wingman-type player. So, yeah, they've got so many pluses in that team.
They have indeed. I've got a feeling the only question mark is going to be self-imposed pressure. Having played in the last three finals and only having won one of them, I think they think that unless they do win it this year, it's going to be a huge disappointment. And expectation, you know, you've got to be up on the day and all those things. And as I've just said, I think the biggest danger they've got is trying, as it were, over hard to achieve what they desperately want.
Yes, and look, I suppose Central will have to be, you know, premiership favourites at this stage. But another club that sort of have shown some marked improvement this year is Willesden, across the bridge there now. Their big recruit was Josh Glenn, who played for the Gold Coast in the AFL and formerly with Central District. He kicked 20 goals this year. He's featured in the best players a number of times. You've seen him a couple of times. What do you think of him?
Oh, he's a very, very good player. There's no doubt about that. And he has scored goals. I've just got a feeling in having seen them a couple of times that they need a bit more methodology in going forward. And if they could clean out the forward area a bit and give him and John Cock a bit more space rather than the old long bomb, they would be very much more successful. I think it's not the form of either Glenn or John Cock that's the problem. I think it's the way the ball's getting delivered down there, and it's the skill of Glenn that's enabling him to score the number of goals he has, probably despite the way the ball's coming in.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but they've got the potential to have a really good forward line because Jeremy Johncock, he returned to the club. He's played league footy. You've got David Iloco and Scott White remain at the club. So you've got four key goal kickers possibilities there. And then in defence, you've got Sean Childs has returned to the club this year, and that's huge. He's immense. He's a general back there. And Matt Brooks, who's been there forever, he's a quiet achiever this year. I've had good reports about his defensive work. Then, of course, they've got Ash Fryham Ball, who's he's always there. And Sean Baker's returned after an injury, although a little bit of a knee scare on Saturday. But my mail is he's sort of come through. And probably the number one heart and soul would be Captain Sam Walton.
Oh, yes. Sam's just so hard at it and just gives 110% every time he runs onto the ground. But as I said, it's probably a little bit an indication of how I sort of see them playing at the moment that Sam scored a magnificent goal at the weekend where he stole the ball and actually created the thing himself. And as I said, I'm still a bit concerned about the way that they're taking the ball inside their forward zone.
They have set up to be a finals contender, though. They're winning the games they have to win against the lower teams, and they're having a little bit of trouble with last quarters at times. Against Angaston, they almost dropped the game after being about seven goals up at three-quarter time. And again, against Tanunda, they were fairly level pegging at three-quarter time and got run over. And yeah, that's a problem where they've got to get some consistency with four quarters of football.
I couldn't agree more. I'm beginning to think that it may be partly a fitness problem because they've been run over, in fact, three times. I think they were either in front or level pegging with Central before they got mowed down in the last quarter. And on Saturday against Tanunda, they were actually 2 points in front and then got finished cleaned up by six or seven goals. When that's happened three times in a third of a season, you've got to seriously look at what's going on and why.
In their defence, when they played Barossa, they were well behind at three-quarter time and actually came home with a wet sow that day. So they can do it, and they're playing Freeling this Saturday. So hopefully, they can sort of work out some of the kinks about playing four quarters of consistent footy.
Well, yeah, you'd like to think so. I can't believe that they won't beat Freeling. Probably by about 100 points, I would suggest. And so that's going to be good for their confidence. The only thing you've got to be a little bit dubious about is the quality of the opposition. And so what they might find reasonably easy this weekend mightn't occur when they're playing some of the better sides.
Yeah, now on to South Gawler. Now, they're probably a little bit of a disappointment this year. They're sort of like struggling. They've won a couple of games against the bottom two teams, Freeling and Newry, that haven't won a game. And they've lost Heath Lowy, who's been a mainstay through their finals participation over the last 3 years or so. This was huge. And, of course, recently Matt Folderstein, who's one of the important players in the midfield, he got suspended for 3 weeks and he's still got another week to serve. And that sort of cost him a little bit in the middle. Jackson Dare is always polled well in the Mail Medal. Sort of, he's still sort of a consistent player for them. Patrick White, who returned to the club mid-season last year and showed a lot of form, he's continued on. Then you got Marcus Baru, one of the young kids that have come up. He seems to be a ready-made defender there, the way he's developing. They've got Daniel Golding and Nathan Bartsch, two of the kids that have come through the system, like Jackson Dare. And the only trouble with Nathan Bartsch, he got a broken leg, I believe, against Newey, so he's probably going to be out for the season. So South seem to be a little bit under the pump.
Yes, I think they are. To be honest, I actually haven't seen them play yet because of just the way the draw is and the games that I'm looking at. But I think you've got to put the ruler to them and look at the wins they've had to say that they are struggling. And you'd like to think that they'll turn it round, but they've got a lot of work to do.
Now, Kapunda, now they're celebrating their 150 years of football was absolutely magnificent, and the book that they've produced, it's unbelievable. It's probably the best South Australian country footy book that I've seen. It's got everything in it. It's got photos. It's got stories on the players. It's just well presented hardcover. But on the footy field, they've been a little bit inconsistent. They've had some good wins, but they've had some bad losses.
Well, they have. I couldn't agree more. I've only thumbed through the book, but it is absolutely classy. Beautifully printed, beautiful photographs, detailed to the nth degree. And it'd be nice in their celebrations if their footy was going as well as their book. But at the moment, they've tried to plan for this celebration, and hopefully we're, you know, on the way to a grand final or a premiership. But I think they're going to have to do a lot of work in this backside of the two-thirds of the season to come, because to be put it honestly, they haven't really beaten anyone that they need to beat at this point in time.
Fair call. They got some finals experience last year, so they returned to play September action, so they'll be building on that, and they are a possibility.
Oh yes, I wouldn't write them off right now, but putting it, they're in the middle of the pack, and if they really wanted to get to a premiership this year, they really need to win a lot of games in a row to get themselves up into that number one or two, because they'll find it pretty hard from if they get into the finals, you know, from the bottom end of the finals, they'll find it hard if they're not in one or two. They need to win a lot of games.
Now, just a little bit of an amazing statistic for you, Rick. I'm going to bring in something about league footy going back in the 1930s to highlight a possibility that could happen in the Boss Light and Caller this year. Now, Glenelg Footy Club never made the finals, and they were bottom many years. And in 1934, they actually won their first flag. First time they were in the finals, they beat Port Adelaide by 15 points. In 1934, South Adelaide were bottom. The following year, in 1935, South went from bottom to top, and Glenelg finished bottom. So they reverse their positions. Now, this year in the Boss of Light, with Angola, we've got Newey up to undefeated premiers last year. They haven't won a game this year. And look at Boss of Districts. They were bottom last year, but they're up there. They've only lost the one game to Central and a close one by a point. They're quite possibly the premiers this year. Can you believe it?
Well, I find it a remarkable statistic, Robert. You're right on top of those stats all the time. There's no question about that. And I have actually been lucky enough to see Barossa a couple of times, and they're not a bad side. They'll give it a bit of a shake, I think, if they hit their straps at the right time, like in any game of football. But, no, they're definitely in with a chance. There's no doubt about that.
Well, some of the big recruits this year, I mean, getting Darren Schillerbeer from North Adelaide, a capable big goal kicker. They've got Todd Miles in ruck. He's just been sensational this season, and a huge pickup for them. And, of course, Alan Obbs, who's coaching them this year. He's played league for Central District. He's played AFL for North Melbourne. He's played for North Adelaide League as well. And he's the coach, and he's playing full forward, and he's kicked a bag full of goals as well. And Adam Spencer, the captain, he's been around forever, and he's a heart and soul of that team. And Matthew Stelson's returned this year without his twin Paul, but he's returned. So they've had some good kids there, and they've had some, like, Jaden Goodfellow and Ruck, and So they're looking a pretty awesome unit at the moment.
Oh, they are. They've been very good, as I said, the games that I've seen them play. I love Alan Obst up forward. He's big and tall and can grab those marks. And I tell you what, he doesn't miss too many shots on goal either. And I've been very impressed, not only with Todd Miles, which you'd expect, and Shillabeer for that matter, but Goodfellow, Jaden Goodfellow, has been very good on the occasions I've seen him play.
Yeah, he's a good young player. What about Newry Upton? They've still got something like 14 premiership players, but really, I think the two big losses for them were, you know, Slattery losing him because of the Essendon fiasco, because he was going to coach him this year, and Rumbelow, Mark Rumbelow, has gone playing league football for Centrals this year, and I saw Newry six times last year, and I was very impressed with the way he played on the wing and half forward, and he was that type of player that could turn a game, and he's finding his feet at league level now, and I've seen him play reasonably good footy, you know, league footy, and he's not at Newry this year. So those two players plus a couple other losses have really hurt them.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, they're a shadow of, to state the obvious, they're a shadow from a side that went through unbeaten to not having won a game. And I just think that they're missing too many of the people that actually put them at the top of the tree last year. And the reality is that that does happen to teams with turnover and loss of players. But unfortunately, I don't think they've recruited well enough to replace the ones that have gone. And, well, dare I say it, they won't make the four.
No, then we've got two other teams to talk about, Angaston and Tanunda. Now, they seem to be at opposite ends. Angaston sort of look like being a battling mid-table types team, which might sort of hang in there to make the finals. And Tanunda seem to have a few key recruits this year, which put them on a path to play finals. So, you know, I suppose a lot will sort of come down to when Tanunda play Angaston, because my money would be on Tanunda making the finals.
Oh, yes, I think they will. I think the big thing is that in this league, you've got to have your good players playing. And I saw Tanunda a couple of weeks ago, and they were seemingly pretty average. They struggled a bit. But then again, I saw them at the weekend, and with Angus Kurtz playing, they just looked a different side altogether. Now, it's not right that one player will win a game of football for you, but when you've got a bloke with his experience and he can get his hand on the ball and give them so often first service of it, they just look. It was hard to believe that they were the same side as the one that played a couple of weeks ago when he was out of the side. So he's big, and you know, Captain Ben Schiller, he's just he's a ball mag. You know, he works so hard.
Yeah, Benny Schiller, sort of a brilliant little player, and Angus Kurtz played for Sturt, and there's others there like Lee Westhoff, who used to play for Centrals, Jake Snowden. I mean, there's so many sort of players that have come to the club and cemented in with the others like Ben Britton and Sam Brooks and these type of guys that have been there for a few years, and they could be sort of building towards another dynasty, which they had half a dozen years ago.
Well, it's true. You know, and you've got the Westhoffs and so forth. I just think that if they put it together there on their day, and Parker Nelder, he's put in a couple of useful performances that I've seen, and if they all click on the right day, then I think, particularly as I've said already, with Kurtz getting his hand on the ball, they could surprise. I'm pretty confident that they'll make the finals.
Now, with Angaston, sort of they were an unusual type of pick, because they had a game against South last week, which they won, which now keeps them sort of in the mix a little bit. And they're coached by Paul Sherwood, who played league for Glenelg. But you go through their sign, they've got some reasonably looking players. Andrew Peck sort of kicks a few goals, and you know, you go through there's some kids there. So I suppose they've got a bit of a mix there. Jack Miles is the captain. Matthew Doki, he's been there forever. He's a rock, the 300 gamer. But you don't sort of expect much from them. They don't seem to have the grunt of The recruits like Tanunda has and Barossa District sort of have, and the and the players at Gawler Central had. They don't seem to have those three or four type players at the top end, but perhaps they have a more even spread of the players from 5 to 15 in a team. Maybe that's where they're getting some impetus from.
Well, yes, I think what you've described is correct. I don't think they've got enough guns, as it were, to carry the young, inexperienced ones. And so I guess we're talking about depth, that they'll win their games. And in fact, they've come close to winning a couple that they just got beaten in. But it's probably that experience and depth and maturity that they're probably lacking. They probably would have liked to think that this year might have been a big improvement, but maybe they've got to wait for next year as well, I think.
Well, that was fun talking about the BLNG, Rick. So we'll sign off for another Rick and Rob show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.